Welcome to Avery Adventures Podcast. Today on the show, I have Mark Boardman from Vortex Optics. Mark, welcome to the show.
Awesome, Ryan. Appreciate you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming on. It's been a wild goose chase to get you on. Partly my fault, partly your fault, but we're finally here.
No, we're here, yeah. Schedules and computers and a little bit more of both, but we made it.
You're still better than Robbie Denning. He has a force field of anti-electronics around him.
Yes, no, not anti-flannel, though.
No, he loves himself some flannel.
He pulls it off.
Oh, he's a renaissance man. He's a throwback to the mid-70s.
Well, I mean, you look at him today, and what you see when you go downtown, where the hip folks live, they're dressed the same.
He's a hipster, a hunting hipster.
Modern day hunting hipster.
He would agree with that. You know what he says? I wear what I have, and I don't worry about the rest. And I guess that's a good motto.
Dude, that's the truth, man. That's the truth. No, you gotta respect Robbie, man. He's one of the good ones.
So what's exactly your title at Vortex, so people know?
So I mean, I'd say marketing / media relations manager. We've got so many great folks here, and some things overlap, and there's certainly folks above me that make the big calls. But we got an awesome team here, so.
It sounds like you got a pretty – I mean, you guys move a lot of products, so you got to have a kind of a system in place, obviously, to not get overwhelmed.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's an awesome team.
The main focus of this podcast is the Vortex Extreme Challenge.
Yep.
And it is going on again this year. I've talked to several people that told me it wasn't, and I didn't know for a while. I met up with you at the NRA show, and you said you guys found a venue or working on a venue, and now it's 100% go.
Oh, yeah, man. It is all systems go. It was a little bit up in the air. Historically, I mean, you've been there, which is awesome. Historically, we've held it in Tremont, Utah, which is at the Spirit Ridge Rifle Golf Facility. They ended up that number one, I'll say, great folks there, amazing people. The venue was awesome. And we couldn't have done the event without them. I mean, that's just the facts. But unfortunately, they had to shut that facility down. So the event was a little bit up in the air. We were scrambling, trying to find the right spot. Ultimately got with the folks at the state of Wyoming. And then Strategic Match Design, so we kind of partnered with those two entities, if you will. The match is alive. It's well. You can sign up for the match right now, and it's going to happen near Douglas, Wyoming. And it's actually going to be held on the Wagon Hound Ranch, which is a really, really cool spot that not a lot of folks get to see. So.
And for people that don't know what the Vortex Challenge is, can you kind of go through what it is and why you guys started it?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess we started it just because we thought it was a cool idea, honestly. But essentially, the bones of it is a long-range shooting match / endurance race. So there's a physical component, there's a shooting component, score is kept, so your final score will be a conglomeration of how well you shot, coupled with how quickly you traversed the course and completed it and crossed the finish line.
Yeah, and it's a team event, and it's a time team event.
So, yeah, so it's a team event, teams of two, so you're going to want to recruit a shooting partner that can shoot straight and don't need to be able to run the hills, but you need to be at least able to walk them, it's pretty cool. The team aspect, I think, is one thing that makes it, fairly unique. You can help your partner, you can help call their shots, if the wind's blowing, you can get a wind reading, let them know, if you look at their shot, in your rifle scope's reticle. You know, you can let them know, hey, you're 2 mils left, or you know, whatever that might be. You know, if you need to call wind for them, and you can root each other on, you can help each other, and so that's one thing that I really like about it.
You know, I can't say I've shot tons and tons of competitions, but I have shot in quite a few long range events. And the one thing that I've done it twice, I think maybe three times, but I believe twice. And I like the two factors. A, the stressor of actually having a timed event. We got to go up and downhill. You got to breathe hard. You got to sweat. And when you get to the station, you actually have a timed amount of, you know, you have a timed amount of time to get so many shots off between the two of you. So it puts twofold stressor on you, which I think simulates backcountry hunting and hunting in the mountains. And I don't know if you guys get a lot of feedback on that, but that's my biggest takeaway is if you want to replicate what you're going to do in the mountains, this is probably one of the best opportunities in a competition setting to do it.
So, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you're getting a lot of those, you know, you're replicating, you know, a lot of those things that you're going to experience in the mountains. And we all know, you know, I mean, when that moment of truth arrives, you want to be able to execute that shot and to be able to do it under pressure, you know, probably a little bit winded, as you oftentimes are. It's definitely a good primer going into the fall season, that's for sure.
On the one that was down in Tremont, you guys had the Widowmaker, quite a bit of up to start, and then on the way back you had quite a bit of up. Is there a lot of extreme altitude up and down in this one?
So, you know, it'll be interesting. So it's going to be, I think the total elevation gain and loss will probably be about a wash. It'll be a little bit more consistent the way this this course is going to lay out. So on the front half, there's kind of two halves. You know, it's kind of a almost visualize a figure eight in a way. But you're going to have a lot of up and down, right? So you're going to be traversing multiple canyons. I think it's about 200 foot of elevation gain and loss on each one, but you're going to have, you know, 5 to 6 of those in a row. So you're going to be going up 200, dropping 200, going up 200, dropping 200. And kind of at each one of those peaks is where you'll encounter the shooting station where you'll shoot up the draws. And, you know, talking about the shooting, we are anticipating a lot more shooting compared to previous years. So I think, you know, in past years we've had on average probably about 36 shots. I'd say this year, the way it's looking and how it's going to lay out and the target tree and multiple targets per shooting station, I'd say plan on about 80, you know, 60 to 80. But I think 80 should be about where it's going to fall.
About 80 shots. And this is some of the questions I got in PMN on Rockside when I posted it. It's about 7.5 miles. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's about 7 miles, give or take, probably give. It's definitely physical. It's going to be a stressor. But I wouldn't let it at the same time scare anybody off. You know, I think it strikes a nice balance of being within reach of just about anybody.
That was actually one of the questions I got was, do I have to be a super athlete? You do not. I am not. If you see me, you know me. If you look on Instagram or Rockside, I am not a super athlete. And I really did not have a lot of problem finishing it. Yeah, I sweat. Yep. I got tired, but I didn't have a problem finishing it. So you can walk it at your pace or you can run it as fast as you want. And you can carry whatever you want to shoot with. So you can make your pack as heavy or as light as you want. The thing is, you still have to carry all the stuff you shoot with, correct?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, if you want to carry a rear bag, then carry a rear bag. If you don't, you know, don't carry it, you know. And I mean, our motto with the event is, if you can hack it to pack it, you can bring it.
I like that.
And to your point, though, on the, I mean, we get people that they charge, you know, they treat it like a race and they race, you know, and then we get a lot of folks, I mean, they're just out there to have a good time and they walk it at maybe a brisk pace and take their time. And, you know, individuals are going to go in with different goals. Our main goal is everybody has a good time. Yes, it is a competition, but it's more, we want to bring like-minded folks together who want to shoot, who want to learn from each other, and just, you know, pretty much just want to have a good time.
Yeah, it is a good group of guys. And I did the first or second year, I did a walk run, and we finished seventh. So I wasn't setting any blistering pace, and I wasn't in the back of the pack. And we still, you know, we showed up and competed. So I would not let that physical fitness level slow you down.
No. You know, and that's a good thing to bring up. You know, I mean, it's weighted, right? So the shooting portion is kind of weighted as 70%, and then the race portion is 30%. So the race portion comes into play. Like, it's definitely enough that it can make a difference, and it'll certainly affect your overall score. And if you want to come in number one, you probably better do well at both, right? But it's not so much that you know, a person's gonna feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, that, you know, I walked it, so I'm gonna finish last. And I'll be honest, I mean, I think most people do just, you know, set a strong pace for themselves, but they're not, you know, killing themselves at the same time, and it seems to work out. So I wouldn't let, like I said, I wouldn't let that scare you off. Mostly it's just, you know, to test yourself, have a good time, get in shape for fall, and go hang out with some good people. So
absolutely. The other question I had was the age limit. What is the age limit? How do you do that?
There is a waiver that you have to sign. So I'd say by and large, I mean, people are 18 and older. I'll have to look into that. We haven't had, I guess, that question this year, so I don't think anything's been modified, you know, in regard to that. But I'd say, you know, 18 and older in general. Yeah.
18 and older in general. What caliber restrictions? That was another question.
So, I mean, essentially, 338 and smaller. So, I mean, if you can keep it under that, which most guys don't have a problem, then you should be good to go.
Yeah, I remember I brought that 338 Edge Plus P, and I broke two targets. So it can slow down the event if you bring a big boomer.
Hopefully we'll be able to avoid that this year, but we'll have some good targetry out there, and it should be just fine. So, but yeah, if you want to tow 338 or 338, you know, plus P, you can do that. And if you want to tow a little, you know, six Creed, you can do that too. So,
and what's the average target distance?
I'd say, so it's definitely going to be mixed up. I'd say most of your shots are going to be between 4 and 8, with some outliers. There may be some unique positional stuff, so it's not going to be all prone. All the shooting, you know, if anybody's familiar with the event in the past, we had cement shooting pads to shoot off of. So most of the shots, you know, if not all, you know, 90-95% were just, you know, prone off your bipod, off those cement pads. This is going to be all natural terrain, all natural shooting positions. So I'd suggest, you know, you're going to have to deal with a lot of those similar things that you would when you're hunting. You know, you might have to shoot off your pack. You might have to stack your pack on your buddy's pack. It'd be a good idea to bring some shooting sticks. You know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, give too much away, but I'd be prepared for a little bit of everything.
And then you did have, like, in the two that I went to, you could shoot out to 17 something hundred yards, but you also have the opportunity to shoot at a closer target for lesser points. So you don't have to shoot that extreme 1 mile or close to 1 mile. You can shoot 1,000, 1,200, 900 yards and still be in the point system.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, barring maybe like some sort of bonus situation or a shot where, like you said, it could be a little bit of a shooter's choice. You know, your shots are going to be between 2 and 12.
Gotcha. Is it, and I'm just trying to cover all the bases because I get a lot of questions after I post this stuff. Is it still a known distance? Like, you know, the yardage the night before to each target?
So yeah. So you'll be given a range card the night before, and then at the shooting stations, you'll be given a range as well. So, and that just helps. You know, one of our goals is to keep it as fluid as possible and to eliminate backups, and so that's a way that we can, you know, keep people moving through the stations. Teams are going to shoot one at a time. If you remember when you've done it in the past, up to three teams would shoot at the same time.
Yeah.
which was definitely conducive to keeping the event moving, but it also was problematic from the fact that, you know, you're trying to break a shot and all of a sudden, you know, the dude next to you or the gal, we had a lot of women competing in the event, you know, lets one rip and you know, kind of throws you off a little bit. So I think we'll be able to keep it fluid, but also have, you know, one team of two shoot at a time at each station.
Gotcha. And it's still the same thing where you come down and you stay the night, basically a Friday night. You get there midday Friday. You guys zero in it all that day, or do you have any plans for that?
So, yeah. So there is a facility not far from Douglas. It's arranged there so a person can check their zero after they fly or after they travel. We definitely suggest, you know, getting there with enough time to do that. And then we will have the banquet and orientation that Friday night, which will be August 10th. So it'll be the evening of August 10th. And that is mandatory. So if you're signed up for the event, you know, you have to show up. I'd show up anyway. It's generally a pretty nice dinner. And we'll go through the rules. We'll go through the course. You know, pretty much everything anybody needs to know. You know, we're going to check in, make sure that, you know, teams have made it. You know, you'll get your race bibs, you know, all that stuff, you know, the stuff that you're going to need when you show up the next day. So,
gotcha. And what about rooms? Is it a place to camp? Is there enough hotel rooms in Douglas, or is that where you'd stay? Or just can you camp on the ranch or no?
So there is some public land in the area that if a person wanted to camp, they can certainly camp. There's some good hotels in the area. The Hampton Inn, the Holiday Inn, those are two that come to mind in town. There's some other hotel venues as well. So those would probably be the main ones, I guess, yeah.
All right, and there's still – you're taking 50-plus teams still?
So we've got a cap of 50 teams this year, so, you know, a total of 100 participants, and we thought that would be just a really nice number. I'd say, you know, that's been – I guess that's probably a little bit shy of the number that we've had in years past, just being, you know, kind of the first time that we're doing it here. We definitely wanted to do our best to ensure a quality experience, and so we figured a cap of 50 teams would be a good one for this new venue.
Gotcha. And then the price point to shoot?
So it'd be 500 per team, so $250 per person.
That's not bad. If you look at all the PRS stuff, that's not a bad price.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, and that includes, you know, dinner the night before, lunch the day of the event, you know, you get a t-shirt out of the deal, you know, the experience itself, which should be, you know, fingers crossed, a pretty darn good time.
Absolutely. Are you going to shoot, Mark?
I'm thinking about it.
Is there going to be a multiple team vortex or just one team?
Yeah, I might might do that. You know, we'll see. I'm maybe assisting and facilitating. So
it's no easy task to move people 7 miles and keep them on track.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. You know, particularly like you said, you know, when you got that fluid component of it, and you know stuff. You know, wild stuff happens, you know what I mean? You know, we'll have some on-site, you know, EMS stuff, should have some on-site, you know, fire suppression, just, you know, precautionary, right? But it's been nice, you know what I mean? It generally is hot that time of year. You know, we did have an instance where a person, you know, got dehydrated, you know, kind of experienced some heat exhaustion. We did have an instance where probably the only person on the course that was allergic to bees got stung by a bee. So we needed to get him an EpiPen. But by and large, I'd say it's, you know, pretty solid. Shouldn't have too many issues and be fun. So.
Who I know we talked about it when we first started, but the inception of this, who masterminded this at Vortex that we're going to do this?
So Paul Kendall, our Utah rep, kind of came into contact with the folks at Spirit Ridge when that facility just opened, and he went and shot it, and he's like, oh, man, that's a really cool long-range course, then he kind of had the brainchild. He's like, oh, man, we should do something where you shoot the course, but you have to, you know, physically traverse the course. And then, yeah, from there on, the event evolved. I mean, you know, we over here, we connected with the folks at Spirit Ridge and started brainstorming and coming up with ideas. And each year it's changed a little bit and evolved and, you know, in our opinion, gotten better. And we're hoping the same for this year.
Awesome. Is there anything else you think I'm forgetting about the details that I can think of? Because it seems like if I post it up online or I post it up on Rockside, it's like people have so many oddball questions. They're not odd to them, but they just – it's like it's an enigma, the Vortex Extreme.
Yeah. So I'd say one new cool thing this year is we've got three divisions.
Oh, really?
So we've got a hunter class, or what we're calling the hunter class. So that's going to be any rifle, you know, 10 pounds and under, and that includes, you know, any permanent or semi-permanent attachments. We've got a gas gun division, so if a person wants to run a gas gun, they certainly can. You know, maybe somebody's got, you know, an AR or something that they want to run, or AR-10 or whatever, what have you, that they think, you know, that's suitable for executing long-range shots, come on in. And then we've got an open division, which I'd say in the past has generally been an open division, right? You know, bring what you want to shoot. It's also been single feed in the past, though. So, like, you know, loading one cartridge at a time. This year, you definitely have to arrive at a shooting station with an empty gun. You have to leave with an empty gun, but we are allowing magazines, so that should also aid in keeping the event going a little bit quicker, as well as accommodate the breadth of the firearms that folks are going to be running. So
I know you're not going to like this question, but I got to ask it. Can you use non-Vortex scopes?
Well, it depends if you want to win or not. No, we can't. I mean, this event, I mean, sir, do we appreciate all the folks that show up with Vortex scopes? Absolutely. And, you know, and another really cool thing is a lot of folks do, but you certainly don't have to. I mean, this is about shooting. This is about having a good time. Hopefully, if you aren't shooting a Vortex scope, we'll be able to twist your arm a little bit, or not twist your arm, but educate you, bring you into the Vortex fold. So yeah, but not necessary, but we certainly appreciate everybody that does.
Well, I have to throw you a bone after that one. What scope would you use if you were going to shoot the Vortex Challenge?
You know, it would depend on it'd depend on the division that I was in, but I'd lean for this event probably something in the Viper PST Gen 2 series, 5-25. First focal plane, you know, mills or MOAs. If you're, you know, in the open division, like tough to beat the Razor HD Gen 2 or even the Razor HD AMG.
That question was on Rockside the other day. What would you pick out of the Razor Gen 2 or the AMG? Obviously, one weighs less than the other, but in your mind, why did you guys produce those two scopes? Because they cover almost the same thing, but they're vastly different scopes.
So yeah, I mean, so the Gen 2s came out first, right? Phenomenal long range optic, a lot of features, a lot of functionality there. You know, bomb proof build quality, 34mm tube. I think in the MOA version, I don't think you have about, let's see, what is it, 113 MOA travel? I can't, off the top of my head, I don't have it in front of me, but so a ton of travel. The AMG, you know, that was you know, something that we want to do. That scope essentially is built entirely in-house, essentially 100% made in the USA, even the glass is coming from the USA. I think the only thing that's not, and it was originally, but it just our specs weren't, you know, getting met, is the reticle. So the reticle is coming from Germany. And so, I mean, and so that's a cool thing. I mean, it's awesome that, you know, we do it in-house, or essentially entirely in-house. It's awesome that it's essentially 100% made in the USA. But, you know, I'm also the first one to say that the scope, you know, it doesn't have to have that to be a phenomenal optic at the same time.
Gotcha. Which one do you prefer? The top two, AMG or the Gen 2 Razor? You guys don't make the Gen 1 Razor anymore, correct?
So we do know the Gen 1 Razor, 5-20x50, yeah, it's still in the lineup. Yeah,
it is
35mm tube.
I was just going to say, so go ahead.
So yeah, the MOA version of that has 125 MOA, I think 36 miles of travel, so a ton of travel. I mean, it's still a very, very great, good option, you know?
Absolutely.
And I guess as far as which one I would choose, most of my shooting is probably more hunting focused, you know, Western hunting focused. So for me personally, you know, weight is generally a concern, you know, what do I want to tote around? So,
right.
I gravitate more towards the, you know, the Viper HSLRs, the PSTs and that, Razor HD AMG.
Is it like on the shooting just competitions in general, are there more people run like PRS, NRL, more AMGs or more Gen 2 Razors? Do they have a preference?
You know, I'd say by and large, you know, particularly, I guess, on the, I'll just speak to, you know, it's because just feedback that I've heard on the PRS side, I know the Razor HD Gen 2, 4.5 to 27 by 56s are pretty darn popular.
Yeah, they are heavy, but they are nice to look through. But I did look through an AMG that Jordan Cower had, and that glass is pretty damn nice.
It's pretty stunning, man. It's cool. Yeah.
It really is. I know I got to ask you, is there anything you can tell us? Anything coming down the pipeline? Anything exciting? I know you guys, like most companies now, they kind of keep that under wraps. But
Can you give me a month?
1 month. All right. We'll post it up on Rockside in a month. Is it one item, 10 items, 2 items?
Give me a month. We'll have a new one for you guys.
All right. Mark, where can people find you? Where can they sign up for the Vortex Extreme? I'll put a link up in this podcast description notes.
So, you know, probably these things, if you just go to our website, and it's a little bit obscure, on the homepage, though, on the left-hand nav, there's going to be an events section. If you click on that, I believe the Vortex Extreme is the only one that's up there right now. And so, yeah, just follow that link. You can sign up. There's information about the event, some of the stuff that we talked about as far as, you know, places to stay, you know, where to fly into. So a person, you know, like I said, it's near Douglas, or the event is being held, you know, in close proximity to Douglas, Wyoming. So you know, a person's probably going to fly into either Denver or Casper, I believe.
I think Casper is the closest.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'd follow that link. Just go to the homepage. You know, you should be able to find it. If you Google Vortex Extreme, the event webpage will probably pop up. You can get to it there. The sign up is through the Practice Score. It's like I just said, like the Facebook or whatever. Getting old. But yeah, so you should be able to find it. If you can't find it or you have questions, call us here at the office, 800-426-0048. Happy to chat through, you know, the event, anything that maybe we missed covering today. I think it's going to be a good time. I think folks will really enjoy it.
One more question I forgot. Do you have to pack your own water?
So we will have water throughout the course. I would always suggest packing at least some, you know, throw an Algene in your pack. If you've got a bladder, run a bladder. I definitely keep some with you.
I would too. You guys do a pretty good job of the logistics side of it. You guys are always pretty close by, and emergency people are close by, and you have a spotter pretty much at every station, but you have people actually on the course too, making sure everybody's all right.
Yep. No, that's definitely, you know, one of our primary concerns. We want people to have a good time, get home safe, and, that's pretty much, I mean, those are the two things, right?
Absolutely. And I do, I'll say this again. If you're a backcountry hunter and it's anything to do with long range or hell, even short range, the stressors involved with this will make you become a better hunter, in my opinion.
I agree. Well, and you've done it before. You know, I can talk about the event till I'm blue in the face, but, what, anything stick out to you, Ryan, that, you know, that we didn't talk about that?
No, I just think that I think some people are scared off by it because that 7 miles seems so long. But it's, I would say if you golf, it's kind of like rifle golf. You just go to tee. So you're not basically kicking ass for 7 miles. You go to a station, and I believe there was 7 stations when we shot down in Tremonton. right?
So yeah, we had 7 of the pass. You're gonna have 10 stations at this one.
Yep. Yeah, so that 7 miles is broken up pretty well. So you're not just out there cruising for 7 miles of fun in the sun.
No, you know, and you know, if a person does hunt, you know, you think, you know, at the end of the day, oftentimes, you know, you covered probably about 7 miles, you know, and go at your own pace. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to, you know, I'd say by and large, most folks aren't charging it 100% of the time, you know, like just fast hike it, or, you know, we've had people complete it in, you know, 2.5 hours. We've had people complete it in 6 hours, you know, and we want both those guys out there.
And you have to, just so they know, you have to start together and finish together.
Correct. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because I went with Kenton Carruth my first year, and he's a goat. So he would run to the next station, and I'll give people a little hint. Maybe Mark probably won't like this, but if you get to the station quick, you can kind of see the impacts and see what the wind's doing. But I didn't tell you that. And the other thing is, bring a gun you can spot your own hits with, because it's really important.
Yeah, no, that's definitely good. That's a good tip for sure.
And yeah, you don't need a big magnum. If you, you know, I think one of the best rounds all around for it would be any of the 6.5s, the 6.5 Creedmoor. A 28 Nosser would be, in my opinion, one of the best guns to bring to it. But that's just me.
Nope, those are all good ones, man. Those are all good. And we see it all, you know. And with that hunter class, I mean, of course, you know, there's a lot. You can get yourself a nice little, you know, Kimber Montana and 6.5 Creed. But why we wanted to make that part of this is we wanted to bring folks out who might be, you know, maybe or intimidated, like, oh, I don't have a gun like a PRS gun. Well, bring your hunting rifle, you know, and particularly if you're getting ready for fall, you know, bring your hunting rifle, get a good zero, you know, get a ballistics calculator, get some good dope, and go for it.
Right. And it's, and if for that first time guy, hunter or not, it's not a scary event. The people are not rude. They'll help you to the nth degree. And it's not confusing. Everything's pretty much laid out the night before. The only hard part is getting up early and walking fast.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The challenge yourself, you know what I mean? It's a good opportunity to challenge your shooting and your fitness. But the goal is definitely not to be intimidating. You know, we have in the past and want to continue to make it an extremely inviting event to have people from all walks of life, and bring folks together and like I said, share knowledge and help each other and have fun doing it.
Well, I think we covered all the bases, Mark, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on.
No, thanks. Appreciate it. And yeah, sign up. Like I said, if you got any questions, give us a shout. Ryan's done it before, so, you know, blow up his inbox. He always likes that. And
I actually had a whole bunch of questions this last 4 or 5 days because I think people are starting to think about it.
Yeah, it's coming up. You know, August 10, 11, so we're getting down to the wire. I want to say early last week I checked, I think we had 35 of the 50 teams signed up. So knowing human nature, probably another 35 are getting ready to sign up, you know, the night before the event because they're procrastinators like I am. But
Me too.
We'll get her done though.
All right. Well, I'll be there and maybe Mark will be there shooting. So if you see us, say hi.
Absolutely. Swing by.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Yep. Thanks, Ryan.